Good to see everybody again this evening. Hope you've had a good day today. There's been a lot of things that we've looked at in recent weeks, and this week we've been talking about Christianity that actually does something. But let me say why it's so important. We, as we go through our days, really do have jobs we have to go through, and we have people that we deal with in those jobs that aren't always easy to deal with. We have difficulties sometimes at home with health and with different ones going through different things. Mamas still have to be concerned about making sure that their kids are doing well in all the areas that they're looking over the kids, and dads have to do the same. Husbands and wives have very real situations that arise that have to be taken care of. We lose loved ones, and we really do have to bear with that and to figure out how we can best handle that. We have sickness in our families, and we have to figure out how we're going to get through that. And sometimes it's not always easy. Sometimes we go through things where we're sicker than we thought we'd ever be in our lives, and we have to figure out how we're going to address that and what that means. As a matter of fact, what all these things mean for our service to God. And so one of the reasons that we look at these things is not to just keep pounding over and over and over, you have responsibilities, you have responsibilities, you have responsibilities, because I think that everybody is more than aware of that. But it's also to let us know that we have help to get through the life that God has called us to serve. And if we can use the tools that He gives to us, to be able to do that, it makes everything better. It makes us better parents. It makes us better spouses. It makes us better employers and employees. It makes us better friends. It makes us better at actually bringing people to Christ in whatever way that is the best to do so for the given situation. But when we talk about real Christianity, I guess the point is that we really do serve God, and we really do need to be able to use the tools that we have that He's given to us for life to work. And if we don't, it won't work. And so let's continue on with that. When we talk about real Christianity, one of the things that we need to know is that real Christians practice real religion. We talked this morning about the fact that some people have gotten to the point where they just hate the idea of religion. And I guess from a standpoint of hating false religion, we should too. But there is a pure and undefiled religion that God calls us to, and we need to practice that. And real Christians are going to practice real religion. They're really going to do something. They're really going to read and find out what God wants them to know, and they're going to study that word, and then they're going to think about it and reflect on it and try and figure out what that means for their situation and how they need to react. And if we can do that, then we're not only going to just make it through this life, but we're going to do very well, and we're going to help other people along the way. As a matter of fact, I'm absolutely convinced, the older I get, that God has put within us greatness if we'll just seek to achieve it. But part of real Christianity is figuring out what we need to be doing for Him in order to achieve the great things that He has put within our potential. I want to start in Psalms chapter 25. I realize this is before the era of Christianity, but there are some things that are common in every dispensation as far as servants of God. And this is one of them. Psalms 25, starting in verse 4, this is King David. And he says this, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths, guide me in your truth, and teach me, for you are my God," or "you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." Well, think about what this plea means. When David says, "Show me your ways, teach me your paths, guide me in your truth, and teach me," well, show me, if we're asking God to show us, that means that we can understand what it is that He wants us to do, because He's showing us, and He's not incapable. And so we really can't understand what we're doing here. When He says, "Teach me your paths," that means that we can learn what those paths are. When He says, "Guide me," that means we can be led. In other words, we can really know what it is God wants us to do and how to do it. Part of it, there's a learning curve on. We understand that. We're going to make lots of mistakes in life. But He's going to help us. He's going to show us, teach us, and guide us. The question is, are we trying to understand? Are we trying to learn? And are we willing to be led? Because if we are, then we'll be able to serve Him all the better. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. I've always loved the beginning of Psalms. It simply says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." In order for you and I to practice real Christianity, we're going to have to delight in God's law. We're going to have to be happy with it. Our daily readings aren't just going to be, okay, I got to do this so I can check something off my list. Our daily readings are going to be something much more akin to, I cannot wait to see what God has for me. And once we find out what He has for us, then we're going to reflect on it. We're going to meditate on it all day and night, is what King David says. On His law, He meditates day and night. Well, what are we to reflect on? What are we to think about as far as God's laws? And the answer is, from what we've already looked, are we on the right path? We're going to be looking at our loved ones. Are they on the right path? Am I saved? Are they saved? And if that's not the case, then what will we do about it? John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus talks to those who believed in Him. And I like the way this starts, because it points out that this message is for those who believe Him. To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Real Christianity leads to freedom. It doesn't lead to bondage. We are God's and Christ's bondservant. That's true. But Jesus said, when we know the truth is going to set us free. Points out in another portion that Christ came to free those who all their lives were held in bondage by their fear of death. Are you afraid of dying? And I don't just mean, are you afraid of the unknown, of what dying is, because there's always that fear. We're not sure, we've never died before, and so we don't really know about it. But I mean, are you afraid that God won't handle the situation well? And the answer, I hope, is none of us are afraid that God will somehow mishandle that situation. So if we're afraid of death beyond just the normal uncertainty, then don't we have to say that maybe there's something in our life that we need to take care of? Maybe it's that Christianity hasn't been real enough to us. Maybe we've just been kind of dabbling with it and playing around the edges of it. If we are scared to death to die, there should be a reason for that. Because God sent Jesus to die on the cross to take our place, so that those who were held in bondage of their fear of death would be set free. And Jesus says here, you'll know the truth if you hold to my teaching, and the truth will set you free. We have that freedom. It's not just our freedom from a fear of death, but it's a freedom in this life to really do well. I've been working on that roof, and at some point on top of that roof, it's 18 foot tall, and I'm really cautious when I get to the edge of it. Not that I'm afraid of heights, but I'm afraid of hitting the depths really fast, and so I stay away from that. But at least that's something that I understand. It would be really kind of nice. I thought about that. Somebody had a bunch of gymnastics equipment, and part of it was a net. And if there was a way to put that net up to where I could just go over the net, I'd be really more free. Part of what Christianity does is it allows us to go through life with a safety net. Because if we fall, God is there for us. Because if we do our part, He is guaranteed to do His part. And when we understand that, Mark led several songs on trusting this evening. When we really trust in God, when we really understand that He is not trying to trick us into going to hell. Why would anybody give His Son to die on the cross and so that we could go to heaven and then try and trick us? But once we trust God, it really is like going through life with a safety net. I'm not wanting to die early. I'm not wanting to go through difficult times. I'm not wanting a lot of the challenges that come up in life that I see other people have to go through. But at least, I shouldn't say at least, we have within God somebody who loves us and will take care of us. And it's very much like having a safety net. You don't have to worry about falling and failing because God is there for you if you'll do your part. And so when Jesus says, when He talks about, if you hold to My teaching, that's the key. That's our part. But if we'll do that, then we'll know the truth. And the truth will set us free. And that freedom is a fantastic thing. Another thing that real Christians do is they understand that Jesus is not just a way, but He's the only way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. We don't try and go through life in some other way other than being a Christian. Let me say this about real Christianity. When we talk about real Christianity, what we mean by that is you are a Christian. Whatever else you do during the day is secondary to that. When you wake up, you're a Christian. You're a servant of God. If you're a mother, you're a Christian mother. If you're a father, you're a Christian father. If you're a banker, you're a Christian banker. That's first and foremost, because Jesus is the way. And if we try and do it any other way, even if we're wearing the name of Christ, if we're trying to get through this life without having Christ foremost in our lives, it's not going to work. And it's also something for us to be even more cautious about as we read and study and think about that, to understand that when Jesus says, I am the way, that means that we can find it. But it's the way, not a way. One of the most popular misconceptions about Christianity is that there are many paths and we're all just going to the same place by those many paths. That's incorrect. That makes a lie of what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm the way. Jesus was the one that pointed out that there are two paths in life. One is narrow, one is broad. But there's just two, and only one will get us to the place that we're trying to get to. Real Christianity will allow us to find out the truth on that and make sure that we are on that path where Jesus is the way. There's something else that's really important, and that's that real religion has a purpose. There's a lot of people that are looking for the meaning of life, and they spend an awful lot of time wasting time with empty philosophy and with empty thoughts from empty people, trying to find out what they're here for. God has told us, and He's also told us how we're to live when we think about what we're here for. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, a passage that I think we're all familiar with, but it really does give us, I think, one of the keys, one of the secrets to a really good life. And it says this, Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Let me ask you this, do you know you're going to receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward? And if you don't know that, then whose fault is that? Is it God's fault? Has He been somehow inept? Or is it because we're not confident that we're living well? Or we're not confident that we've found out everything that we need to find out? We're to work at everything we do with all of our heart. If we find that we're involved with something that we cannot work at as we're working for the Lord, then we shouldn't do that. But in everything else, whether it's our work or our play, we just work at it with all of our heart. We're a Christian and we're representing Christ in that. Whether we're playing a basketball game or we're doing heart surgery or something in between, We work at it as if we're working for the Lord, because we're going to receive an inheritance from Him as a reward. Isn't that fantastic that God does not overlook our work? We're saved by grace, but we are told within Scripture over and over and over we're rewarded because of our work. And then he says this, it's the Lord Jesus you are serving. I was going back over thoughts on Jack Carter at his funeral. Carolyn got a audio or video of it part of his funeral service, where it had a bunch of pictures and on a slideshow, but at the end it had him saying, "Do something for the Lord." I can remember visiting with Jack, and I can remember visiting with Jack's daughter just a little bit before he died. And he was probably about, I don't know, I would guess about 82, 84, somewhere in there. And he had spent a life, as far as you could see from the outside, in service to God. He had been a part, an integral part, of converting, I suppose, thousands of people to Christ. He had taught in Christian institutions and had taught well, and he had an integrity about it to where when they stopped doing what he felt like they needed to be doing, he disassociated himself with them after trying to get them to do the right thing. He was involved with I don't know how many gospel meetings through the years, and he had a tremendous talent in what he did. But at the end, his concern was he hadn't done enough. And I think that's human nature, don't you? The older we get, the closer we get to the reward, the more we start thinking about, my demise is coming up. Am I saved? Have I done enough? And hopefully as you look back over your life, the conclusion is, I haven't done enough. Because we can't do enough for God. But at the same time, hopefully we understand that it's what we're doing right now, and it's what we're trying to take care of right now. We would change a lot of things from the past if we could, if we go back and do that, but we can't. So why not be concerned about right now? And why not be satisfied with that which God has allowed us to enjoy and the successes that God has provided and allowed us to take a small part in? Why not go through life with the attitude of, I want to do something for the Lord today? Because we love Him, and what else would we do? Real Christianity is not just talking about a philosophy of religion. Real Christianity is finding out what God's Word has to say and apply it to our lives, and then really doing it, and then really appreciating the fact that God is with us every step of the way. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we read this a lot because it talks about correctly handling the word of truth, but it begins with the phrase, do your best. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. I love that command because it commands us to correctly handle the word of truth. And if he commands us to correctly handle the word of truth, that means we can correctly handle the word of truth. It's not something that's impossible. But the standard for you and the standard for me is to do your best. It's not to do as well as the person sitting next to you. It's to do your best with where you are right now. And if you're doing your best, the best you can, best you honestly can for the Lord, then you're going to be a workman who's approved in God's eyes. That's a fantastic thing to think that we can meet with God's approval. It doesn't say for a moment that we deserve to meet with God's approval. It just says that we can be a workman approved. Jeremiah 6:16 says this. As a matter of fact, it starts off by saying, this is what the Lord says. Anytime you hear something that says, this is what the Lord says, it ought to cause our ears to go up. This is what the Lord says, Jeremiah records in Jeremiah 6:16. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And then he talks about the stubborn. He says, but you said, we will not walk in it. Well, we'll eliminate that second part for right now, because I don't think you'd be here if you were if you had decided not to walk within the path. But if you have, you need to reconsider. But this part right here where it says stand at the crossroads and look, I'm absolutely convinced that we need to, on a regular basis, stop where we are and see how we're doing before God. To the best of our judgment, the most truthful that we can be with ourselves, as honest as we can be with ourselves, if you died right now, do you think you'd be saved? And if you do, what do you base that on? What do you base that hope on? Is it based upon the promises you find within the Scripture that you're walking in accordance with? Or is it just more of a wish than a hope? And if you don't think that you'd be saved right now, then what concrete steps will you take to make sure you correct that? Because God has given us a wonderful opportunity, irregardless of how life has turned out for you so far, God has given us incredible opportunities here. God has given us incredible opportunities for joy, if we'll just open our eyes. But even if our life is filled with sorrows that may or may not seem fair to us, we have an eternity waiting. This earth, according to Scripture, is about 6,000 years old. Maybe a few years more than that, but about 6,000 years old. There's been a lot that's happened during that 6,000 years. But after the first 6,000 years of your eternity in heaven, you'll still have as much time as you had when you started. And God has something planned for us there. He has important service planned for us, satisfying service. And we get to be with Him and we get to experience the love that He has. And we get to be in a place where there's no sorrow and there's no tears. What's that going to be like? And don't you long for that? And if we do, and I think we all do, we wouldn't be here otherwise, then we need to stand at the crossroads from time to time and think about, am I in a position before God that's pleasing to Him? And if we're concerned that we're not, change it. And if we are, keep on that path and live a life that is the life that God has called all of us to live as real Christians in a real world. Invitation's open tonight. If you need to respond, won't you do that while we stand and sing?